Regular board meeting here at Rose Hill Elementary School. Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll? Here. Now I would like to introduce Ramel Ramirez to give us the Pledge of Allegiance. Ramel is a student here at Rose Hill. Come on down. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. If you can, sorry, please remain standing. We would like to have a moment of silence for Kate Early. One moment of silence. Kate was the Fire Prevention Community Resource Officer with the West Licking Joint Fire District. Please stand for one moment of silence. Thank you. You may be seated. Item 2.0, approval of the minutes. Do I have a motion? Moved by Mr. Whitman. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Dunlap. Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passed. Item 3.01, approval of this evening's agenda. Madam Superintendent, do we have any changes to the agenda this evening? Do I have a motion?
There we go. We are very excited tonight to present to you the participants of the Model UN this year. They did a great job, and Mr. Gadzoulas and Mr. Smith had the honor of staying with our students for 3 days downtown at the Hyatt. So I'm going to let him have the honor of talking to you about all the great things they did.
Well, first of all, thank you for having us here tonight. These students before me participated in the Ohio Model United Nations. What it is, it's a global education simulation that where kids get to go through the procedures of the United Nations. About 1,200 students participated from all over the state. Those 1,200 students represented 158 countries who presented at this competition. We brought 78 from Wagner Road, 78 students that represented 14 countries. How it works, these kids are randomly put into groups, they're given a country, and then they're told to go and find a problem within the country. Not only finding a problem, becoming experts on a country, and then creating a resolution to solve the problem that they find. It's a very long and hard process. We start in January. And then these kids go and present and debate at the competition. All 158 resolutions are read on the first night of the competition, where these kids all get the chance to participate and debate. And then 31 are chosen to participate the next day for the next round. We actually had 6 of the 31. And then that next day, all 31, they're debated the same way again. Kids get a chance to present, and then they give out 12 awards for outstanding resolutions. We won 4 of them. We also had 2 students win outstanding delegates, Alex Rector, is right here, and then Olivia Hager is over here. Olivia also won the Outstanding Leadership Award. So it was a success, and these kids worked really hard, and I'm really happy they could be honored here today. Okay. I'll go ahead and give you the country and the students' names of who earned awards. The first country was Tunisia. Carson Berry is not here tonight. Kara Cannon also not here tonight. Alex Rector. Grace Mormon. John Begany. Jessica Shvetkovska. For Turkmenistan, if you guys could come over here so I do know who's here. Kayla Stepp. Olivia Hager. Gavin Smith. Andrew Click, Nate Russell, Owen McCoy, and Nick Wallace couldn't be here tonight. Next country was Mauritania, Laura Stevenson. Abby Robinson, who couldn't be here tonight. Tatum Smith. Alexa Leach, Paige Costello, Caitlin Lewis, and then the final country to win an award was Liechtenstein. Those students here tonight are Amy Atkins, Thomas Striefeld, and Jacob Baker, Justin Huther, and Jared Kreese. Chris could not be here tonight. I also want to point out that we also have this competition's run by all high school students, and our eighth graders get to run for office for the next year. We had five students who earned officer positions for next year, so just wanted to point that out. Congratulations, guys.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Any comments from the board? All right, we'll move on to, Mr. Whitman.
Congratulations, good luck to y'all. It's fun for me hearing about this because both my sons went through Model UN and they've aged out of it now. So good job, everyone.
Item 5.01, items from the board. We'll go ahead and continue on with Mr. Whitman, please.
Okay, well, first of all, thank you for the Rose Hill administrators for hosting us here tonight. And I would like to thank all the community members who came to our two open forums last week and who completed the survey regarding our high school enrollment situation. I'm sure our Mr. Chairman will have some more comments about that a little later. But I just wanted to repeat what Mr. Bennett said that night. It was a very polite, respectful conversation, even though there were lots of disagreeing opinions, and I just really appreciate that. The conversation continued online, where it was mostly polite, but still there are some good ideas out there, and I wanted to respond to one that's been said. We shouldn't be having open enrollment students in the high school if we don't even have room for our own students, and that's certainly valid, and board policy already states that if we don't have the space for them, then we cannot admit them. But also, as Mr. Bennett and Dr. Cosgrave pointed out, doing away with open enrollment alone, in addition to being sort of a hasty and knee-jerk move, would not solve the problem. We're going to have to deal with making space for our resident students anyway, And so when we're looking for a solution for that, both short-term and long-term, then we would like to find one, if possible, that can accommodate both them and the open enrollment students. And that's all I – oh, yeah, that's all I have. Thanks.
All right. Good evening. Rose Hill Elementary, thank you very much again for hosting us. I love getting out to all the schools and walking through the hallways as on our way here and seeing some of the things up. I want to thank the Model UN students. Wonderful. Congratulations. I was just talking to Thomas beforehand and said I've actually been to Liechtenstein. And I always thought that was the smallest country in the world, and I was so proud I was there until I found out, nope, it's the Vatican. I also want to say congratulations to the cast and crew of the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. That was a wonderful musical, if anybody did get to go. Yeah, it was, the audience participation was great with that. It was wonderful. Lots of humor, and a lot of that was just off the cuff. It was wonderful. I want to also say congratulations again to Ty Pawlowski, and again, this is again, he has a portrait that is going to be displayed at the Capitol Building in Washington, D.C. for the coming year for winning the Congressional Art Competition for our congressional district. So an incredible accomplishment. Thank you also to everyone who came to our community input sessions and our meetings at Bow Summit and Livingston. They were very productive, and I think it's so very important that we as a board and as a district are getting input from our community, and especially in a decision like this that is a very difficult decision to make, and we know that there are a lot of emotions riding on this one. Also, I want to remind everyone, I know that is on the forefront of everyone's mind, but I don't want to forget that there is a community meeting again tomorrow night at the Senior Center here in Reynoldsburg, talking about our community center and pool, and input again will be taken there, as well as information given out. So that is set for 6:30 at the Senior Center. Please plan to attend that one. And also, this is a little early, but I want to say congratulations to all our teachers who have earned fellowship awards. I appreciate all your hard work and everything that you do for our children here in the district. Means quite a bit. I have three right here myself. So, thank you.
Ms. Tenero?
Good evening. I also would like to say thank you very much for hosting us here at Rose Hill. Appreciate it. This is fantastic to be able to get out and see the schools and interact a little bit. Thank you all for coming out this evening and listen to us talk up here and hopefully voice anything you'd like. I would like to say thank you to Mr. Bennett and Dr. Cosgray as well for hosting the community sessions. We've got a lot of information that has come out of that, and it's definitely helping us make our own decisions on which way we think we need to go, and it's enlightening to hear some of the conversations that are taking place. Just remember to keep it respectful, and you know, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't log it on Facebook. I also would like to congratulate the teachers who have won the fellowship awards. That's an outstanding achievement. And on the students who participated in Model UN, my daughters participated in that as well, and they had a fantastic time. Remember what you've learned while you were participating in that. It will help you immensely. So, and that should be it. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Truex. Again, thank you to Rose Hill for welcoming us here this evening. We do appreciate it. I'd also like to thank all of the students who participated in the Model UN. I promised I would not embarrass my son, who is from Tunisia, and calling him out specifically, but again, thank you to him. One thing that's on a lot of people's minds is kind of the early information about the enrollment meetings that came about last week. Would like to thank Mr. Bennett and Dr. Cosgrave again for running not only the presentations, but also all the behind the scenes types of things, the results of the surveys, which I've been getting in real time, which we'll get more into that in a little bit. But I would also like to thank the public for being a part of this process. You are just as important as anyone else up here, and we want to make sure we continue to build these relationships to work together. I'm going to go over a couple of general impressions that I got as far as reading everything. There's some people who really enjoy the academy structure. The good that comes out of the academy structure was brought up actually in instances by all four academies, students and parents. I will say STEM tend to be the most vocal and energetic of all the Academy members, which is a good thing because they've done some good things out there. Overall, the perspective is that choice is a good thing for our district, that a lot of students and a lot of people like the opportunity to choose where they go. However, there is an issue with the equality between the academies. That was also something that was constant throughout, all the way through as far as everything. Now, it's more complicated than that, just to say equality. There's a lot of things to go into it. Whether it's real or perceived, it's out there. And so that's one thing that no matter what the outcome of all of this, we will work better to, you know, bring out the best in all of our academies at all times. Other things, there was some dislike of the overall structure. There was a lot of call by some students and parents to, you know, remove and, you know, get rid of the academy structure and move to more of a traditional system. So those things are out there as well. And I want to make sure that everybody who's out there, I've read all of them. The last time that I checked was earlier today. There was, I think it was just approaching 11,000 or 1,100 comments all the way across. Not 11,000, sorry. But about 1,100 comments, give or take a few. And I've read them. Some of them, the way the system went, you know, you could, I think somebody might have, you know, gone the survey one or two times because they were the same comments. But for the most part, I've read them all. The rest of the board was given these comments earlier today. So it's going to take some time to kind of go through some things. One thing that I think what we've looked at is that there's a definite difference between long-term and short-term solutions for this issue. The short term is yes, we obviously have to do something. There's a number of administrators in this building who I'm probably sure are giving me a little of an eye of like, okay, when can we get our schedules ready? There's a lot of parents who want to know what their schedules are ready. We are working on a short term solution, and I'll get to that in just a second. But this is only part of it. We also have to look at the long term solution. This enrollment thing is not going to go away. No matter what we do, whatever our short term goal is, our district is getting close to that point when you start looking down in the 8th, 7th, 6th, 5th grade levels, especially with the popularity of some of our programs. And again, yes, open enrollment does impact that, but not nearly as much as what you're thinking. A lot of homegrown Reynoldsburg kids want to go to a specific academy on either campus. So those are things we have to look at. So here's the time frame approximately. May 2nd is the first Monday. I would like to hope that the board can kind of come to some consensus for the short-term goal and initially lay out steps for any long-term changes that may be needed to necessitate for, you know, growth all the way throughout there. I don't know if everybody, no one's reached the ultimate decision of what they want to do yet, but I do believe that we have a couple of framework about what the best options are for all of our students, so we are going to be working together. I'd like to say that May 2nd would be the deadline. If we get it done earlier than that, then we will do so, and we will figure out a way to what is best to announce it. Whether it's, you know, obviously there's going to be a number of ways, whether it's social media, letters home to the parents with the kids, newspaper access, things of that nature, possibility of another meeting. I'm not reluctant to have another meeting, but again, it's we get paid for being here. I'd like to save a little bit of the taxpayers' money on some of these things as best we can, but that is an option as well. Going forward after that, we need to know what our good things are in our district, and you guys have all put that information in. We need to know the things that our district needs to work on. And again, a lot of you have put that stuff in. But one thing that we realize, whether it's social media or regular, we have to find a way to work together, whether you're in STEM or Bell, whether you're in the 7th grade or 8th grade in a STEM school, or you're at the Wagner Road campus. We all have to work to what's best for all of our students because we owe it to them. That is kind of why we're here. We're making sure that our students have the best education that they possibly can have. I know there's probably a lot of questions out there, and again, we will get that information to you. I believe the superintendent will talk a little bit later about this as well, but I wanted to give you my comments as I've kind of worked all the way through this. Again, thank you all for being here. I enjoy coming out to these schools all the time. With that, I'm going to turn it over to our superintendent, item 6.01. Superintendent, you have the floor.
Good evening, President Beckney, members of the board. Tonight's a special night for many of our teachers, and it's a particularly special night for me. I'm very excited about recognizing and honoring some of our best teachers for the second year through our Rader Fellowship Program. The Rader Fellowship Award recognizes teachers who make a substantial impact in the school community, resulting in positive outcomes for our children. These successes result from educators who voluntarily and passionately serve students in non-traditional, expanded, and or hard-to-reach roles that greatly contribute to positive outcomes for kids. kids on their rosters, students beyond their classroom walls, and for even their colleagues. Tonight, I am proud to recommend 47 teachers for the 2016 Reynoldsburg Raider Fellowship Award. This group of teachers represents the second cohort of Raider Fellows, with 24 of the 47 being recognized as fellows for the second straight year. I spent many hours reading applications and nominations for these teachers that are being honored tonight, and I can tell you that each and every one of them is tremendously deserving of this award and recognition, as their impact spreads beyond the reach they even, they spreads farther than they may even know. I'm going to pause now for a video.
Talking about today? I'm going to talk about Sam. Very good. Can you give me three words that best describe her?
She is kind, funny, and awesome to hang around.
She cares about her students. If they're struggling, she makes sure that she helps them. She makes sure that they get back on top to where they need to be, because she believes that every kid can be a straight A student. They can go to Harvard, they can be whatever they want.
Tell me three words that describe Mrs. Uhlenhaek.
Nice, pretty, and wonderful.
Excellent. Gabe, when you think of Mrs. Ball, what three words would you use to describe her?
Sarcastic, stressful.
She's cool, she's fun, and she's smart.
We want to thank Mr. Underwood for being a great teacher and even better mentor. He's very supportive.
He is funny. He is caring. He is smart.
He is a father figure.
What's your favorite thing about her class?
Seeing how enthusiastic she is every day. She's just fun to be.
One thing is that she pushes you to make sure you're here on time, doing your work, making sure you're good, making sure there's nothing going on, making sure there's nothing on your mind, and that's really one of my favorite things about her.
She's helped me overcome the fears that I've had. I've had so many fears I've overcome in her class, and she's watched me grow. And I absolutely love her.
My favorite thing about her class is even though calculus was horrible for me, she made the class fun and was hilarious, made everyone laugh, even though like we were crying on the inside. If I could tell her one thing, it would be I would have failed calculus without her. I've never had any teacher that cared about me and my education as much as she has. Thank you.
He's a great teacher, one of the best teachers in the school, I think. He's helped me out a lot personally and education.
Groups, and even if we get a multiplication problem wrong, we don't.
She's a lot harder on us than a lot of the other teachers, at least I've had before. So that's one thing that makes her special, at least to me. And I like that, because without her, I'd probably be in a bad spot right now.
If you could say anything to Miss Keene, what would it be?
The fact that thank you for helping me this year, because without her, I'd probably be stuck somewhere and I wouldn't be able to get out of it.
Because she's cool. I like cooking with her. She's very nice. And yeah, she's cool.
And if you could say one thing to Miss McCormick, what would it be?
It would be that she's a great teacher and wish I could be in her class more often.
He helped us through an achieve, and I like the way he teaches.
Mrs. Bejo is always very helpful, and she always makes sure that everyone understands the lesson before moving on. She's very smart, she's very friendly, and she's like a mom to everyone.
You're a great woman, and I love you so much as a teacher, as a friend. You've helped me so much throughout senior year, and you've given me amazing advice.
Dad, I really appreciate you. You're a great woman, a strong woman, and I just appreciate you from helping me throughout my high school years.
And my favorite thing about his class is that he made it very interactive, and it was fun that way, and it helped me to learn a lot better. And right now, I would tell him to help thank him for helping me with college recommendations. They helped me get into the school I'm going to attend. And thank you, Mr. Griffith.
One thing I really like about Ms. Schultz is that she made learning fun. We wouldn't just sit there and take notes. We would experiment, we would go outside, and we did different types of learning experience to make it worthwhile. I could tell Ms. Schultz.
People would ask questions, and she'll always like go slow so that everyone can like read the paragraph.
So thank you for all the times that you stayed after school for hours upon end helping me with calculus and pre-calc, and you know, always being honest with me when you knew I wasn't trying my hardest in school, because that would motivate me to try harder and like start listening and trying to learn more.
I wish I could tell him like how much he's really impacted my life. Like, I don't think he realizes how much he's like changed my 4 years through high school.
Thanks for helping me through this year and preparing me for my future, and you know, just thanks for being you.
Thanks for making school a better place. Thank you.
Thank you for being my teacher.
Thank you to the administrators and support staff who help us put that video together. We have a clip for almost every one of the fellows being recognized tonight, but if we put all those things together, we would be here till midnight. So we are going to put all that together on a Google Doc so that you can have access to it and see what the kids really had to say about you. All right, so President Begney and members of the Board of Education, I would like to recommend the list of teachers attached to the board meeting agenda tonight for the 2016 Rader Fellowship Award. President Begney, I'm going to turn it over to you, give a motion, because I have checks and I can't hand those out until you approve that.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
So
moved by Mrs. Dunlap, second by Mr. Truex. Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll? Aye. Motion passed.
Thank you. Congratulations, 2016 Rader Fellows. I am going to call your names, and I ask you to come up up front here and line up from my left to the right, and we have everything alphabetized, so please do your very best to stay in alphabetical order. That would help us out. Carmen Atkins, Barb Arndt, Amy Babb, Natalie Ball. Please remain standing. Angie Bayo, Janet Benedict, Elizabeth Byrie, Andrew Bone, Chastity Bobes. Christina Calkins, Jamie Caudill, Jim Coley, Kim Cox, Shauna Krim. Is Katie Demchak here? She had a baby like 2 days ago almost, and I can't imagine that she's in the audience. But Katie Demchak, Jennifer Jugan, Model Fall, Lorraine Goggenbaugh, Linda Geis. Angie Griffin, Joseph Griffin, Sandy Gentle, Annette Hawley, Heather King. Jenny King, Taylor Lang, Heidi Leeds, Anna Lavina, Tracy Macedonia. Don Malo, Kelly McCormick, Lori Niskoviak, Tanya Pryor, Stephen Ridgway. Carmen Robinson, Madeline Schultz, Lauren Smith, Joseph Sorensen. Catherine Thompson, Linda Traynor, Christopher Turner, Candy Twyman, Nick Twyman. Beth Eulenhake, Woody Underwood, Austin Walsh, and Christina Watts. Please remain standing. President Begney, members of the board, our esteemed community, please join me in congratulating our 2016 Raider Fellows.
Thank you once again for that presentation, and congratulations again to all the fellows this year. Madam Superintendent, do you have any other comments at this time? Okay, thank you. Now we're going to move on to item 7.0, recognition of visitors. We have two visitors speaking today. Just a couple comments before I call you down. Again, you shall present your his or her name, your address, and any topic that is going to be discussed. I would also like to remind all visitors that are speaking here today to please refrain from any attacks that are personally directed, abusive, or obscene. There is no time to call out any individual people in this forum. Other than that, I look forward to hearing what we have today. And may I please call Tara Rahm coming to come down and speak with us today.
Okay, so I cannot not have a visual aid because I'm a teacher. My name is Tara Rahm. I live at 8830 Lobelia Court, Reynoldsburg, Ohio. I'm a science teacher here at Hannah Ashton. I have previously taught at Encore and before that Reynoldsburg High School. I've been in the district for 18 years. I'm here to speak to you tonight about the effects of Reynoldsburg merit pay system on students and teachers. Please know that I am specifically talking about the percentage that is based on our rank that the state gives us. That's what I'm speaking about today. Hi, Josh. I speak to you this evening as a parent, teacher, and proud Reynoldsburg citizen. I'm here during the month of April because we teachers call this testing season rather than tax season. I firmly believe that the merit pay system in Reynoldsburg is designed for a business world, not for judging students and teachers. We're not building cell phones. We do not all get the same quality parts or make the same products. We are students and teachers working to grow lifelong learners who are all different in their own way. So here's my visual aid. I guess it could have been. Okay, I'd like you to look at number one. The Reynoldsburg merit pay system contributes to excessive testing and teaching to the test. Students take so many tests. They take formative and summative assessments that their teachers give. They take vendor assessments like STAR and Procore. They take district assessments given by the district, and they also take the state assessments. The Ohio Teacher Evaluation Ranking System is based on a broken and flawed testing system. Since the state system is flawed, we now have to give more district tests and vendor tests to determine our rank and now our pay. This contributes to excessive testing and teaching to the test. On Thursday of this week, I will be giving my students a high-stakes test solely for the reason to determine my rank and pay. No other reason. And I want to pause on that one because that one is the biggest to me. It's really why I'm here. Please do not underestimate the wear and tear of the excessive testing on teachers and students, my children included. Okay? All right, number two. For me, anyway, the Reynoldsburg merit pay system, specifically the percentage, lowers academic standards. Before rank and merit pay, I was a very hard grader. I would tell the kids, I grade harder than the state so that you'll do better on the state test. You'll do better getting into college. I believe that grading hard and setting high expectations makes the students more prepared for state and college tests. Now I grade with my rank and pay in mind. I believe this is just human nature and self-preservation. Number three. The Reynoldsburg merit pay system stifles teacher collaboration. For example, and I really am only talking about me here, so I just thought you might like to hear it in the month of April. After spending a weekend, and it was a long weekend, creating a really great eighth grade science study guide, I had a moment where I actually thought twice about sharing this resource with my peers. I said to my husband, should I share this? And he said, absolutely, this is great. This district has an if my data is better, I get more money mentality. Shouldn't we have an if our data gets better, I get more money mentality? Finally, number four, it won't take long. If the Reynoldsburg merit pay system contributes more to testing anxiety for students. My own sons know that their test scores determine teachers' rank and pay. I have had my own students, 14-year-olds, not that I would ever say this in my classroom, say, Mrs. Rahm, doesn't this test on Thursday determine your pay? And I look at them and say, just try your best. It's going to be fine. You just do your best. I would never reiterate that, but I can see the anxiety in their eyes. So to the board and superintendent, I thank you so much for serving our community, okay? Teacher contract negotiations begin next year. Oh my gosh, so soon. I believe that this board has a strong push for music and art. It makes me happy. This will contribute to smaller class sizes and more time for the core content teachers. This is what will keep high quality teachers in Reynoldsburg. The solution to the Reynoldsburg merit pay system, along with bettering our report card, that's important, is easy. I never come without a solution. Shared attribution. Imagine if we all got paid more based on a better state report card. What would our report card look like next year? I'm here tonight to ask the board to help revamp the current merit pay system, the percentage rank, during the next contract negotiations. I think it's especially important to ask that this month at this time as we are all wearing and tearing through the testing season. Let's base part of our pay on sharing successes and showing our students and community that we too can utilize our 21st century skill of collaboration. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Madam Treasurer, I have one speaker slip. Did you have any additional? Okay. I'm going to do my best. David Corsale?
Caroselli.
Yep. Thank you. Come on down.
Thank you. My name is David Caroselli. I live at 6980 Prior Place here in Reynoldsburg. So good evening, Superintendent Manning, members of our Board of Education, everyone, the Reynoldsburg community. I am the president of the Reynoldsburg Soccer Booster Association. We're the booster organization for our Reynoldsburg Girls High School Soccer Program. I asked for a few minutes to speak tonight because I have something I'd like to announce that we're really excited about. On July 16th, the RSBA, Reynoldsburg Soccer Booster Association, will be hosting the first annual Raider Run. The Raider Run is a 5K, 10K race event that will benefit our girls' high school soccer team. While fundraising for our program is a key reason for hosting this race, there is much more to it than that. This race is also meant to build interest and awareness for our program and become an event our community and school district as a whole can participate in. Races have become very popular and are family-friendly events because there's no age limit, no restrictions, and everyone can participate. You can walk or run, finish first or last, set a personal goal, or just have a goal to finish. We've been fortunate enough to contract with Premier Races, a company that coordinates and manages some of the largest and well-known races in Central Ohio. We want to be sure we are hosting a first-rate event and make a strong first impression. The race is being marketed to participants not only in Reynoldsburg, but throughout Central Ohio. Our hopes are that this event will become an annual tradition for our program and a source of pride for our school district and the Reynoldsburg community and benefit all for many years. The race will begin on the track of the football stadium at the Livingston campus and be run through Blacklick Woods Metro Park, then once again finish on the track. The race came about because each season our head coach, Jimmy Stevens, requires the players to run a 10K as a fitness test. As part of this race, this year, all members of the girls' soccer team will be running the 10K portion of the event. Unlike many other fundraising efforts, the players on our team will have the unique experience of actively participating and being involved with those that are supporting their program through paid registration fees. Every paying participant of the race, provided they register online before the deadline, will receive a race t-shirt and, upon finishing, a medal to commemorate the event. Top overall finishers and top finishers in each age group will receive awards as well. To make things even more interesting, we're coordinating an effort to send out invitations to other high school programs to come and compete with us by issuing a team challenge. Other programs will have the opportunity to enter a team with at least 10 participants. The team that has the fastest aggregate time of the top 10 runners will win the Raider Run Team Challenge. We hope it's our girls, but we'll just have to wait and see what happens. Currently, we're in the process of recruiting sponsorships for this event. What makes this event a bit different than others is that it allows us to reach outside of our community for sponsorship opportunities because because we expect to have participants from all over Central Ohio. Premier Races alone markets this event to approximately 120,000 people. That doesn't mean that hometown sponsorships aren't important, because they are. What we're trying to avoid is constantly calling on the same handful of businesses in our community that have graciously supported our students over the years. Sometimes you can just go to the well too many times, and having fresh ideas and looking at other places to be sure that your fundraising is sustainable. I would like to formally invite all of our Board of Education members, Superintendent Manning, and all the members of our community to participate in this event. I'll make myself available after this meeting to answer questions anyone may have regarding the race or sponsorships, should you be interested. I also have some flyers with the registration link if anyone would like to take that information home with them this evening. In closing, I'd like to thank you for the time to speak, and I'd be happy to answer any questions the Board of Education or Superintendent Manning may have. Actually, there are. So there will be awards for the top three finishers for men and women. We're working on exactly what that award is going to be. Our idea is we give out, based on the coaches, what the coach would like to hand out as far as team awards. What we've done the last couple years is a clear acrylic plaque that will have actually this logo on it and the Raider run and your rank as far as finishing in the race. So then in addition to that, each age group, and they're broken down from like 5 to 18 and then on up, the top finisher, male and female each, will be awarded for top finisher in their age bracket.
Is there a prize for somebody who finishes last by any chance? Just curious, no reason.
Yes, the pride in knowing that you finished the race.
Good answer.
But as I mentioned, every participant that does finish the race is going to get a commemorative medal. We're working on getting those designed right now. It's not a participation award. I mean, anybody that goes through the rigors, whether it's the 5K or 10K, especially if you've trained for it and are out there working to get a personal best, you may not win an overall time award, but it is important that, beside the t-shirt, that you have something to take this home and commemorate the day. As I mentioned in my presentation, we're really hoping this becomes an annual event. As boosters, we've begun to move away from fundraisers where we sell items. People are fatigued over that. So what we're working towards is new and exciting event-based fundraising efforts. This summer, we're also going to be hosting our third annual Speed and Agility Camp and our second annual Youth Soccer Camp. And we're fortunate enough to be working with Parks and Recs this year that they're going to be running our registration. I'm just waiting to hear from them on when our links are going to go live. We have some other things in the works that we are considering, but first we've got to get past this race. There's been a lot of time and effort and planning going into this. It's been ongoing for close to a year now and putting all this together. So we've got all our permits, we've got all those things. We're just working on the sponsorships and finalizing some of the details. And I'm really excited to get it off the ground.
Question, yes. Will it take place rain or shine?
Yes, rain or shine. It may be delayed if we get thunder, lightning, those sort of things. But beyond that, the race is to start at 8 a.m. As I mentioned, we're going to start on the track, and then I just got all the permits and all of the questions answered regarding the permits in the last week or two, so I've got to get out there and finalize the routes, exactly what we're going to do for the 5K and 10K. So as I mentioned, all the members of our girls soccer team are going to be running in the 10K because they have to run a 65-minute time to qualify to play on the varsity roster.
Hey, Dave, can you repeat the date for that again?
Certainly. The date is July 16th. It is a Saturday. And the race will begin at 8 a.m. Registration is now active and live on Premier Races' website. As I said, I do have some little flyers, some slips that I can hand out that have our race logo on it. If you go to the Premier Races website, which is just premierraces.com, and you click on their events tab, and if you scroll down, you will find the Raider run. And if you click on that link, it will take you to the registration link where you can sign up. Real quick, registration fees, in case you guys would like to know, because I figure that question was coming soon too. For students, for the 5K, it's $30 for adults. It is $35 for the 10K. For students, anyone under 18, it's $35, and for adults, it's $40. What we've done that's different than what most race events do is a lot of times they'll start off very early with an introductory rate, and then the tiered pricing will go up until the point where you could be 10 weeks before a race and it could cost you, you know, $50, $60, $70, even $80 to run, let's say, a 10K event. Some of the biggest, most popular events, they can get the money from out of them. But we're staying flat with the prices. We introduced it. We're not raising them at all. Our girls are not going to pay to run in the race. We are going to, with the team challenge, if we have teams interested in doing that, we are going to offer them a discounted code just because they're bringing at least 10 kids to come participate in it. It's sort of like, I remember when I was a kid and we'd have the hometown homecomings that would take place in the summer with the festivals and everything. Excuse me. We had tug-of-war competitions. I was on the football team, so it was bragging rights. But don't get me wrong, there were a lot of other football programs that surrounded our community that they wanted to come in and beat us. It happened once. Unfortunately, it was my senior year, and that was a bitter pill to swallow. So, but it makes for bragging rights. It adds another little incentive for our kids. You know, they work really, really hard, but we're trying to make this fun for them as well. Thank you very much.
All right, moving on to items 8.01, 2, 3, 4, and 5, all items from finance. Do I have a motion? Moved by Mr. Whitman. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Truex. Madam Treasurer, do you have any comments you would like to add to this?
Yes, Mr. President and members of the board. On for your approval tonight are the March 31st monthly financial statements. There are also a handful of appropriation modifications, three due to federal grant reallocations from ODE, a couple of additional funds for our Baldwin Road Junior High Support Fund, setting up the class of 2017 and the Baldwin Road Junior High Foundry. I also have on for your approval two transfers, one from the general fund to the athletic fund for the board share of the winter sports pay to participate fees, and the second one from the general fund to the cafeteria fund. This is part of the Coke money that the district received, and by transferring $4,000 into the cafeteria fund, it will keep us from having to raise lunch prices next year. The fifth item is a donation from Jermaine Toyota to the Blended Learning Fund. And last but not least is a resolution from the Ohio Facilities Construction Commission. They entitled it the First Amendment to the Project Agreement. Back in 2007, when the original project was approved, OSFC had established that all OSFC building projects would have a silver LEED certification. Because it wasn't always feasible for buildings to get that certification, the OSFC granted a waiver to Reynoldsburg for a few of the buildings. They're not coming back and needing to close out our building project and have now asked us after all those years to actually approve an amendment. This has no effect on the overall budget. The project came in under budget. It's not going to affect the district financially, but it's paperwork that the OFCC needs done to close out our project.
Thank you very much. If you would like to go ahead and call the roll.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap? Mrs. Tornero? Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion passed. Item point 901, 02, and 03. This is all about personnel. Do I have a motion? Moved by Ms. Tornero. Second by Mr. Whitman. Any discussion?
President Begany, members of the board, I'm sad to see Steve Tart leave us. He is going to be taking another position in another district, but I like to take the time to thank him for his 22 years of service to our district and wish him the best.
Madam Treasurer, please call the roll. Aye. Moving on to item 10.01. This is a community school contract for Virtual Community School of Ohio. Do I have a motion? Moved by Ms. Tenero. Do I have a second?
Second, but I would like to make a motion that we open this up for discussion prior to taking any action.
Okay. So we'll vote on this issue and then move to discussion. Correct, Ms. Treasurer? Okay. All right, then we will go ahead and open this item up for discussion.
Within reading the contract, it is apparent to me that we have a three-year contract for this item, and I would like to propose that we change that to a one-year plus one, or a one-year with a plus one option for that, so that after this first year of operation, we can revisit and make sure that the items that VCS has put into their contract, those items have been met. We've met the C's, B's, and we've been able to cross our T's and dot our I's.
I just wanted to add a little bit to that, Mr. Truex, before we even discuss that. Kind of going back a little bit further, I know there is there are a lot of emotions about this contract renewal as well. And first coming on the board, I met with several people, Jeff Nelson, the superintendent, Daryl Albrecht, the board president, and Ted Frasora, the district liaison. And I personally wanted to know a little bit more about VCS, get a little bit of historical background and what have you. I know that charter schools, I generally do not like the idea of charter schools taking away from our own community and dollars, and our own district and dollars. But I do recognize that there are certain niches that need to be fulfilled. There are some students that just don't fit necessarily or not best served in that public district or that public atmosphere. And I just always use, for example, when I'm having discussions with other people, Oakstone Academy, just because when I was a writer for Whitehall, that was one that I did a story of about, and a charter school, and I actually visited, and it is for autistic children. And so, you know, I feel that some have their place. So I wanted to learn a little bit more. VCS reached out to me, and I responded and saw that several years ago they were in some financial straits, and they got rid of their management company. They hired a board, or not hired a board, I'm sorry, they elected a board, and they worked through that and overcame that financial difficulty and got back on their feet. And but they're still struggling academically. And that is something that I was concerned about specifically, and talked to them about that, and wanted to see some significant progress in that area. They indicated to me that they have a new strategic and marketing plan to improve student academic performance, and we talked about that quite a bit. They're taking steps to bolster their attendance. We've been reading about that in the newspaper even this week. They are already plans are in place to open a help center in Toledo to kind of help kids who are struggling academically and with attendance. And I know they were looking to better serve their students academically. Now they feel they have the financial footing and they're ready to make some advances in that area. Looking at both the past and the future, I felt they deserved a chance to make those improvements that would lead them to serve their students better. They worked with me quite a bit on some of the things that I asked them to do, and that was adding some additional parameters to their contract to hold them a little bit more accountable academically. When looking at the most current state report card, in all honesty, you know, they were actually higher than us in some, and they were lower than Reynoldsburg in some indicators. And so as I hold our own district accountable academically, I want to hold them accountable as well. And I appreciate the fact that they met with me and spoke with me and took my comments to heart and incorporated those into the contract. I agree with you, Mr. Truex, that I too would like to see, originally it was proposed as a 5-year contract, and I think I would like to, as a sponsoring district, like to see some academic performance and some gains in those areas a little bit before that 5 years. I'd kind of propose 2 or 3. I think 3 is what is in the contract right now as we were looking at board docs. But I would definitely be open to a 1 year with a 1 year option.
Okay, I too had quite a few questions about the VCS when they reached out to me too as well to speak about it, and I have a lot of notes from my meetings from them, answers that I think members of the community would like to hear, just as I was eager to hear them. It was my understanding that either Mr. Frisora or Mr. Nelson there had agreed to present some of this to the assembly tonight rather than some of it get lost in my own translation. Can someone speak to that? Is that correct? Okay. Is this in order? Okay. So, Mr. Frisora, the floor is yours.
Back to people that you probably already heard this. So a number of years ago, 3 years ago, we took over VCS as a sponsor. Reynoldsburg took them over. We removed their board and we replaced them with another board, which are from the Reynoldsburg community. And we also, thank you. Anyway, we took them over. And they were about $2.2 million in debt at the time, and there was some nepotism. Since then, they're out of debt, and they're financially secure. They've done a really nice job getting their finances in order, and they're focusing on their academics. They serve a unique clientele. They have them all over the board, but for the most part, and I did bring a few statistics that I'd like to share. Do you mind? They have currently 227 students who are over the age of 17 years old. 57 of them are ninth graders, 45 are 10th, 49 are 11th graders, and 76 are 12th graders. When I look at the ages of these students that are in ninth grade, 34 are 16 years of age, 59 are 17 years of age. These are ninth graders, okay? 41 are 18 years of age, 10 or 19 years of age, 6 or 20 years of age, 21 or 21 years of age, and 1 is 22 years of age. So as you can see, these kids come in very, very credit deficient. They're not the type of kids that have been served well in public schools. And I'm not saying that public schools are at fault, I'm just saying they are credit deficient. I don't know, there are many, many circumstances. They also have some bright, shining stars. They have a young lady who is an eighth grader. She came in when she was 10 years old. She received a 30 on her ACT test at 10. And she does this. She's taking the College Credit Plus, so she's taking college courses as an eighth grader. And it gives her time for her music. And she has performed at Carnegie Hall. So they have the exception on the other end, too. It's not a one-size-fit-all. There's many opportunities for kids, but the bulk of the kids they serve are very transient in nature. And they have made some big academic improvements. When we took them over, their average ACT score, and I have to look at this to make sure I get it right, was 20.7. And 3 years later, it's 23.4. if you look on their younger students, their fourth grade results, they were 25 points above the state average in reading. Kids that get A's and B's at VCS in their curriculum, who took the PARC and the AIR end of the year course exams in physical science, algebra, and English, 100% of them passed that test. And I think that just states they have a pretty good curriculum, and they've revamped their curriculum too. And like, I believe it was Debbie had mentioned, there are a lot of kids that are unengaged. They don't log on normally on a regular basis. They are setting up some community centers. They have one that they're setting up in Toledo, but there's another one in the works for Cincinnati in the area where the students are the most needy. So I believe they're heading in the right direction. They finally have the funds to do that as well. Before, when you're in debt and you have to, and we've gone through it here in Reynoldsburg, where you had to cut staff, it's tough to do the things you used to be able to do. And I think now they're on solid ground, and I think you'll see great things from VCS. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Frisora. I had a couple of points I wanted to bring up, and perhaps you'd be able to convey them better than I had to. But Board Member Dunlap commented that they got rid of their management organization. I remember last year at this time someone said that, yes, there was a change in management, but I did not realize how actually significant and very unusual that was. So
well,
you could tell a little bit about that.
It is for an e-school. There's a lot of components that go into e-schools. You can imagine distributing thousands of computers a year, getting them back, repairing them, having a help desk. So there is quite a few things that they needed to do on their own instead of hiring a company. And if you read in some articles, you can even go online now, it still says they have a management company. They got rid of that management company in year one when we took them over. So you got a new board, you got a new administration, and I just think they do a really good job with that. The management company took a large sum of their money. I estimate about 52% of their foundation funds. So it was a money maker for the management company, but it didn't go to kids. They're probably one of the few e-schools, if there are any out there, that that have a management company. So all the monies are going to the kids that they get from the state. I don't know if you have any other.
Yeah, thank you. That addressed part of it, but I'll tell you what I was remembering, and you can correct me if I've misremembered something. But my education about charter schools, so I'll share this with you here. Basically, the way that charter schools end up sucking so much money out of the public school system is that there's usually a triangle. There is the charter school itself. There is the educational management organization, typically, that runs this school, am I right?
They run the operations of the school, yes.
The operations of the school. And very often, in fact, it's this organization that creates the school in the first place and sort of uses it as its cash cow. And that's where a lot of the, the overpriced, questionable expenses, they go to the school and into this management organization. The third part of the triangle is the sponsoring organization, just whatever entity that the charter school calls, forms a partnership with to give them legitimacy, some educational organization such as Reynoldsburg City Schools.
Or it could be a 501c3.
Or it could be a 501c3.
I do want to mention, none of the schools that Reynoldsburg sponsors have a management company. So, I want to make that clear that there's no money going to a third party to run the organization. Okay.
And in the case of the VCS, it's the only online charter school that does not have such an organization?
I believe that's the case.
Okay. So when they say they switched the management, that meant that they went to quite a bit of, it took a lot of patience and documentation to fight to record their malfeasances and get a divorce from them.
Absolutely.
And as a result, there is no triangle now. It's that organization and it's us, the sponsoring organization, and as a result, the $1,000 per board of education, or their board of education, and their members got $1,000 per meeting. Is that my understanding?
I believe this was before I got to this position, but yes. I think at one time they made quite a bit of money. There's a state law now that basically reels that in.
Oh, okay.
And so I think $125 per meeting is the maximum of 24 meetings is the,
okay.
is the new ruling. So.
But anyway, that's one of the things that impressed me, that one of the things that I believe that we object to most about the charter schools has been cut out of this equation. There are still the academic concerns, which certainly we need to work on, but that's why I am inclined to believe that VCS is taking steps in the right direction.
And if anybody ever has any questions about that, my number's in the directory. Feel free to call me. I know sometimes you read things in the newspaper and online, and we really monitor that very closely here, and we make sure that monies are going to kids. So, and if they're not, we put them on probation, and we have done that before, and we'll do whatever we have to do to make it make kids get the benefit of the monies that come from our taxes. So, thank you.
More commentary than anything else. As you know, if you followed me on the board, I am probably one of the largest critics of charter schools in general for the for-profit nature of things. So I've struggled with this. I had a conversation recently on social media with a parent who had expressed her opinions on the importance of having options for students, to which I agree. We have a lot of programs in our district that we work with through charter schools that allow for options for students with needs that are beyond the capabilities of our district to handle, options for different students in general. That's never been the issue. The issue is the academic performance for me. I'm concerned about the academic performance. I sat down with this kind of conversation last year, and we looked at the performance, and then we'll do it this year. That's why when we talk about a three-year contract or a five-year contract, that's an awful long time. I don't think that we would give our community schools in this district the same amount of time in 5 years to turn things around. Do I expect miracles after 1 year? Probably not. Do I expect significant improvement, especially when it comes to things that we've talked about, limiting the number of students that are kind of floating out there? They're in the system, but they're not necessarily on the computer itself and things of that nature. I will say, for however long I am on this board, I will be watching all academic gains from any charter school to make sure that they meet the requirements that this district holds dear. That's my opinion on this particular subject. Any other comments from anyone? So, Madam Treasurer, we have two motions, one to approve as is, and then another to motion to alter the contract.
Yes, on the table now is the motion to approve the contract as it is. If the board desires, they could make a motion to amend the original motion, and that would then take a second, and you could amend it to whatever you wanted it to be, the 1 year plus one. Someone would need to make that motion, someone would need to second it. The board would then vote on amending the motion and then vote on the motion as amended.
Would this cause any time constraints or issues as far as the legalities of things being submitted and whatnot for the state? I don't know what the timeline is. Yeah, I just meaning just as far as getting the lawyers involved in all of that to redo the contract. Thank you. Do I have a, so first let's go through the motion. We have the first motion to accept as is.
Yes, do you wish to amend that motion? That would take a first and a second.
Does anyone wish to amend this motion?
Yeah, I'd like to amend the motion so that we can update the contract to the 1 year plus one option.
Do I have a second? Seconded by Mrs. Dunlap. Any other discussion? Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap? Mrs. Tornero?
No.
Mr. Whitman? Correct, yes.
Aye.
And Mr. Begany?
No. Motion passed, 3-2. Moving on to item 11.01, 02, 03, and 04, all on for action this evening.
Mr. Begany?
That's just the vote to change the amendment?
Yes. Now okay. We need to actually vote on the contract as amended.
There we go. All right. Do I have a motion? Moved by Ms. Tenero, seconded by Mrs. Dunlap. Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mrs. Tenero?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
No. Motion passes. Items 11.01, 02, 03, and 04 up for action. Do I have a motion? Moved by Mr. Whitman. Do I have a second? Seconded by Mr. Truex. Some discussion about any of these items, please.
President Begbie, 11.02 is simply to align our graduation requirements district-wide with those of the state. 11.01 is a calendar you discussed last year for 17-18 school year. And 11.03 is the tuition reimbursement policy that you approved. That we put together and we discussed last month. You approved the conceptual agreement to reimburse administrators for tuition in January. So all of those items are on for action this month. The details around the policy are very similar to the details around the tuition reimbursement policy for the teachers. There is a $25,000 pool of money available to administrators. They have to apply for reimbursement. They have to demonstrate acceptable grades. That they have to at least get, I believe, a C or better in the course. They have to get the superintendent's permission to take the course, and they have to remain in the district 1 year following reimbursement in order to not have to reimburse the reimbursement.
Can I just ask how that pot of money compares to the teacher reimbursement policy?
The teacher reimbursement policy per the negotiated agreement is $50,000 pot, and the administrator's is $25,000.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, regarding the updated graduation requirements to bring us in compliance with the latest Ohio state law. So for those out here, if I understand it right, the main change is that instead of 4 units of social studies required and to graduate, it is now 3. Is that correct? That's the main change. Okay. Comparing it to the old version, pretty much the same areas of social studies were spelled out, whereas in the old version it said you take these 3 units and then there was a 4th unit left over, presumably for the student's own choice. Here it's just they specify those 3 units and that's all that are required. So that's correct? Okay. And then the one question I did have, or other question I did have about this is about the weighted grades for enriched coursework. And it says here, enriched coursework received weighted grades with a grade of A equaling 4.5. And it's my understanding, based on my son taking AP courses, that that those are somewhat differently weighted with an A at 5. Is that correct? Or can anyone speak to that?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so Superintendent Thomas Manning confirms. So I wonder if is that something that needs to be in here, or is it okay to just have it as a building level policy?
It's a district policy. It's a
department. Okay, so this is not covered in here. It's in the district handbook.
Sure.
Okay. Why does it not need to be in here with the other thing, with the rest of the AP? Not sure. Okay.
The 5-point weight is a district decision.
Okay, so this policy is mainly to make sure we're in compliance with state code, correct? Okay, all right. And if the difference between ordinary AP and or enriched coursework and AP is in the district handbook where it's everyone can see it, then I guess that's okay. That's all I have.
Small correction, it should only be for action. Items 11.01, 2, and 3. Items 0.04 will be discussed later. Do we have to make any amendments or change? Okay. Any other discussion about items 11.01, 02, or 03? Okay. Madam Treasurer, go ahead and call the roll.
Aye.
Items 11.04, 05, and 06 are all on for discussion, starting off with 11.04. Madam Superintendent, would you like to explain the new changes to our policies, hopeful changes?
Okay. Mr. Beckney requested that we take a look at our requirements, interscholastic GPA requirements for our athletes and those who participate in extracurriculars, in an effort to increase the rigor for our students. We met as a policy committee and determined that we wanted to increase the GPA to a minimum of 2.0 for participation, with the provision that there would be a one-time waiver, or in essence a waiver for students to transition to this policy who may be below a 2.0. So we essentially are asking our students to do more, and we believe that is acceptable, and that our students will be able to meet this challenge. This policy is on for discussion only. We have had lengthy discussions with the athletic director and as a committee.
One advantage of moving this is if you're a high school athlete and you want to play at the next level, previously this year you actually had to have a 2.0 GPA to participate, so obviously this helps raise the stakes for that. It's my understanding the NCAA is actually even raising this GPA again to 2.3 for the future, but again, this is a first step to, again, make sure that these kind of changes in our students are kind of put to the standard that we would expect them to be. When we talked with the athletic director and others, we looked through the last year or so and tried to find out how many students would be impacted by this change. I believe we couldn't find anyone that would be hit with this particular change. You do have to be passing 5 full-year credit courses to be eligible to play high school sports. So usually if you are, you know, below that 2.0, it's usually there's something in there that you've missed the 5 classes, and that would kick you out. But it does allow, again, for that probationary period. It was piloted, I believe, by Columbus City Schools, and it's been used effectively there to give students, especially those students transitioning from 8th grade to 9th grade with all the changes there, gives them that extra opportunity in case their freshman year is a little bit more stressful than they expected. So this will be on for discussion for tonight. Any other comments?
So I don't know if this is for anyone who was on the policy committee, or Mr. Rattel, I know that you're here as well, but just what is done to help athletes along who might be struggling, and maybe even in this particular year, this transition year, but what kind of things are done to help them?
Most of our coaches kind of take it upon themselves to kind of monitor their student grades. You know, we have, and we had talked with the policy committee, over 700 athletes last year, and we hardly had any that were under 1.75 that didn't, you know, pass the mandated 5 classes by Ohio High School. You know, we have the kids that wait on the shuttle at Summit. They have an hour after school before they take the shuttle to Livingston, and they usually work for an hour there. You know, with our campuses spread out and people practicing at different times, it's pretty much impossible to have somebody set up a tutoring session on a daily basis. So we kind of leave that up to each coach. Yes. Yes. Anything else?
No, I thank you.
Thank you.
Items 11.05 and 11.06, Madam Treasurer, Superintendent Thomas Manning, if either of you have any comments on those two particular items. I don't know which one of you knows more.
11.05 is an update of the district's investment policy. What we did is the law changed around allowable investments about a year ago, and this policy puts us in alignment with that law. It also, I think, is laid out better and easier to read than our former policy. Ohio law is very restrictive as to what school districts can invest in, and this was a recommended policy with our financial consultant. The Finance Committee did review it prior to it going to the Policy Committee. The next one is an update our records retention policy and our records retention schedule, RC2. The last time that I could find that this was updated was back in 2000, so it is very, very long overdue to get it updated. What I did is I worked with the Attorney General's Office, the Ohio Historical Society, had sample policies from the Auditor of State, and tried to compile a policy that was usable and yet met all the requirements of law. I imagine we'll be tweaking this as we go along, as we start going through our records. We have quite a backlog of things that we need to go through and start disposing of. But this is a great first step, I think. And so it's on tonight for discussion. After the board approves it, actually, it does need to go off to the Ohio Historical Society and the Auditor of State for final approval. And I also worked with our attorneys, Bricker and Eckler, on the policy.
Thank you. Any other questions, discussion? All right. Mr. Whitman?
So at our new board members meeting in January, we were told that records retention and email was as yet kind of a gray area. The legislature is working through it. Are these have they done that yet? And if so, are these in line with what they've decided?
It's in line with current law. If the law changes, we may have to come back and revisit it. The Ohio Historical Society is also working on updating a new model records retention policy. They actually gave me the draft of that, so I was able to incorporate a lot of the things that they're going to be adopting into this policy. But I do imagine, and we probably should periodically review it and tweak it so that we have the most up-to-date information in the policy. And now that we have a really good starting point, it'll be much easier to add to rather than creating it from scratch.
Any other discussion? All right. Item 12.0, move to executive session. Do I have a motion? Moved by Mr. Whitman. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Truex. Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Aye.
There will be no action after this executive session. Thank you all for coming.